And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio two of the city's personalities. One, Beth Scow, who's been here before. She's associated with the library. And then we have a new person. Beth, will you introduce Dan Michaels, please?
Sure. This is Dan Michaels. He's our new facilities and recreation manager. And he's over the ice arena and all of the parks and the Parks and Rec Board. And he's really has so many qualifications and background is just immense. So I'll let him talk about that.
Okay, we'll get to that in a moment. Welcome, Dan.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So the first question, though, out of the box, what's your favorite park in the city of Palmer?
You know, I'm probably biased because of my time as a principal at Sherrod Elementary, but I just absolutely love the amusement park. We would go there in the springtime. It was a reward for kids that excelled in math. And we would walk from the school over there, and we'd make them root beer floats and let the kids play. And it just feels like such a part of our community. You know, it was put together by all the different members of our community. And I don't know, I have just many, many fond memories, as well as my own children's birthday parties when they were little. And I have a definite bias towards the amusement park. I've spent a lot of time there.
Great, great. Wonderful. It is a wonderful facility. I was there when it started and some fixing that's happened up over time. But the other question is a follow-on to that. Many listeners who've been over to the amusement park know what it is, and they could say, yeah, it feels like a park. But what makes a park a park?
Well, to me, what makes a park is when it's a shared space for our community, and it's a space where people can go to relax, to have fun, to just live their best life, and there's no costs beyond, you know, maintaining it through their city taxes and things like that, where it's just a place for people to gather or to just take their family. It's a safe place. It should accentuate the beauty of our city. A park is a place where we can all feel like we belong. That's what I feel a park is.
Great, great. Thank you for that answer. So I'm thinking of all the parks that I have visited across the city. Some have been small, some have been large. The park that seems to have grown into people's participation recently is that kind of a convoluted area that is just north of the airport, because it's got trails and it's got all kinds of things. It's got even some camping and it's used in the winter. It's got fat tire bike trails, ski trails, everything, all the rest of it. Would you say, the biggest place that we have in the city as a park area?
You know, it depends, because some of our fields, which I would also consider parks, are very large. And we have some of the premier fields, you know, for sports activities and things like that. You know, really that complex around the ice arena, those soccer fields there are second to none. The baseball fields by Sherrod Elementary and by the district office. So we have a lot of amazing places for people to be. And most of them, you can be there, like you say, year round. You can go out there and ski in the winter. You can snowshoe. You can just use them to your heart's content. So yeah, I think there's a lot of different places that would fit into that category.
And now that you've brought up the fields, the second part of what we have as your title involves recreation, parks and rec. So parks can be used for recreation or play, et cetera. But I'm thinking of the MTA Center. I'm thinking of the various fields that we have. I'm thinking of the tennis courts. Those are the pieces that make up for recreation facilities. Are there some that I have missed or others that you would describe in the city?
You know, there are some smaller parks off Eagle Avenue and some areas over by the Tsunami Center, that, and those are more, I mean, there's a bike area there, you know, where it's right. multi-terrain. And some of them are more for smaller children, you know, a place where you can take them with nice little playground facility. But, yeah, there are a whole bunch of opportunities like that. And really, even the ice arena, you know, it's booked all the time with so many different sports teams and hockey groups and things like that. But we also have an open skate at noon every day during the week. Unless there's a tournament or something going on, we have a thing we call stick time, where we have some local kids that come in and you have to wear a helmet and you have sticks and skates, and we put out some pucks. And, you know, you'd think it'd be all kids, but there's also some people that are in the more senior leagues that come, and it's a time for them to practice and just really have fun. We have music going in there, and it's a really fun opportunity for people to come and just use the facilities that we have here.
Okay. And thinking about facility use, and you've obviously got down the numbers associated with the MTA Center. I mean, you can count people and know who's there and when. What about the other parks' usage? Is there a way, maybe Beth has some of that information, maybe you have, about, okay, how do we know how much use? I mean, I've gone to some parks and I see people there at some times, not at others. Are we looking toward gathering information that would help us to understand what kind of use is there, age groups, et cetera, et cetera?
You know, it's fairly informal, our process, and right now that we do with that. I mean, things like how often we have to pick up the trash.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
That's very indicative. And just going around and checking it out. You know, I try to every day visit the parks and see what's happening. As you can imagine, there's not a lot going on there, and many of them right now with the rain and things like that.
Oh, yeah. Right.
But that's how we do. We don't have a check-in system or anything like that, but we also have people that are tending to them, mowing the lawn, things like that, and we always talk with them about ways that we can enhance, ways that, you know, are people using them, what age groups are you seeing, things like that. So it's informal, but yeah, we have an eye on it.
Okay. So that leads us to the next obvious question of, if someone is new to the city or even has been around a bit but wants to know, where are the parks? Beth, how did they go about finding out?
I would say start at the city's website and click on where the parks are. There's a drop-down menu, and it lists all of the parks, where they are, and there's a picture of what's going on there. Soon we'll have brochures out that people can pick up at the library, at City Hall, probably at the museum, where it'll tell them what goes on at the different parks and basically what amenities are there. But like Dan was saying, there are so many different places that are considered a park. We have the skate park. We have, you know, that great quad area in between the borough, the library, and the Colony Kitchen. It's just great spaces. I see children out there rolling down the hill during the summer and the wintertime when there's snow. I mean, there's so many green spaces in our city that Dan's staff maintain, and it's just beautiful, and it would be great. Like you asked, how do they find out? Well, you go to the website. Well, sometimes you don't have time to do that, and it would be really nice when we get the brochure out that people could get the brochure, take it with them, and find those places. We, if they come to the library, we absolutely would help them locate what they're looking for. That's what we do.
Okay. Well, I'm also wanted to thank you for having a park right across the street. I mean, we're located in beautiful downtown Palmer, and I'm looking out the window right now at a park, which is the front piece before the Palmer Depot. And, of course, there's the very much beloved and used little train engine that sits there. And I can attest to the fact that there are many people who come into Palmer that use that as a park facility, essentially, with picnic tables and all the rest. But back to you, Beth, about the library. There's been considerable discussion, and I know Brad Hansen has presented on to the council about developments of that green area around the library. Maybe for listeners, what do you see happening coming up to be the next steps to improve that into a better used park area?
Cool. We're working on having public meetings so that we can get input on what the public would like. But what we see is updating the front of the built the green space with the amphitheater, where we could have our Sundays at 2, story times, poetry readings. There's just so many opportunities that could be done if we had an amphitheater outside. Wasilla has one at their library, and it's used all of the time. It just gives a more space to do things. We're also going to have some places for people to sit and contemplate, lots of space for people to meet on tables outside. That's just been a real big push for me, is people want space to meet, and the library inside doesn't have that unless you're renting the meeting room. We don't have little offices and or meeting space. So if we had little places outside they could meet, that would help with their needs. There's just so many opportunities. We want to have like a green space for children to play out there too. So we're hoping that the community will be bringing us ideas.
Okay. Sounds like a great plan. Back to you, Dan. In terms of looking ahead, have you had an opportunity? I know you're relatively new in the job, to look ahead and say, are there additional plans for either additional parks or changes to existing parks that you are aware of?
I'm not aware of adding any park space. We haven't talked about that. But one thing that my focus is in this position is to get people to use what we have. And so if there are ways that we can improve the usability and just the space in general, we're open to them. Like, for example, one of the bridges had some problems at the amusement park the other day, and a parent called and was worried that it was unsafe, and that day we had it fixed. That day we were working on it. And so that communication piece is really important. And, you know, I'm one of those people that I'm learning a lot of things, but my goal is to definitely be accessible. So my cell phone number is 907-841-4969. And if you call the ice arena, you're going to get that from me. And I want to hear from our community. I really strongly believe the strength of our community is how often we can work together and enjoy our time together.
So that brings up a follow-on question for me. With your background with the school district and schools, which is, to my knowledge, every school has a little park beside it. So how has the city been working with the school district to provide utilization times, et cetera, for those playground areas around schools?
Well, I know one of the things when they passed that bond issue several years ago, one of the strengths of that was they put in the turf fields, but they also put in parks at almost all the elementary schools, if not all of them.
Okay.
And part of the agreement with that bond issue was we needed to provide access to our community. So that's why you can go and use those spaces as long as school's not in session. They don't lock the gates. They leave them open for kids to play. And that's, I was always encouraging to that when I was the principal. I mean, the more you have kids on that playground, the more likely they're going to like school. They're going to feel safe. They're going to feel a part of something bigger than themselves. And that's, you know, that's benefiting to all of us.
Great, great. I'm glad you provided that that background, that history, so that people understand how that all fits together and we work together. I know, following on the theme of working with other groups, the Rotary Club, for example, in Palmer, has done some considerable work, both with the amusement park and some other areas. There are other service groups as well. How do you communicate with them or the general public? If an individual is interested in volunteering in some way or has an idea about a park, I know they can contact you, and there's a Park and Recs board, but are there other avenues for participation and helping with parks and rec?
Absolutely. I think a major part is if you are interested in such things and you want to be a part of a group, like the Lions Club, for example, they do tons of stuff with our community. There are all kinds of different organizations that you can be a part of. The other thing is, I'd be remiss if I didn't say there's a couple job opportunities right now for the parks. We're looking for an assistant for my position so that we can have some help running the concession stands and things like that at the ice arena. We're always looking for rink attendants. So any of those kinds of things, if you have an interest and you want to take the time to reach out to either a member of the city council or myself or talk to Beth at the library, we are going to steer you in the right direction because we want your ideas. This is a community. That's what it's all about. It's all about working together.
Okay. As we're talking, I'm thinking, I know, actually, I talked about one place being the biggest facility around, but there's one that's even much bigger. It's the elephant in our room. It's the golf course.
Right.
I mean, the golf course, I mean, when you think about it, is a recreational facility, but it's not part, it's separate from parks and rec as such. Or are there some things that you touch upon when you think about it?
I think they go hand in hand. One of the first things I did when I got this job was I went there to talk with their employees because I wanted them to know that we're kind of part of this whole team thing.
Got it.
So even though I'm still learning what, you know, authority or what my purview is per se, what I'm really looking at is how do I include others? And like I kind of a running theme, we're all in this together.
Got it. And of course, you're here with Beth, who's really focused on the library. There's another group within the city, Public Works, that obviously has to be worked with. They care for the parks and provide a lot of the resource. Is that correct? Or not? Is it separate?
It's separate, but I can tell you this. Part of the team mentality is it's nice being the new guy. Because I call people and I'll say, hey, I need to borrow a tool. Is it appropriate for me to call you to borrow a tool? And I have received nothing but support since I've started. Every time I have asked anyone at Public Works for any assistance in any way, which has been daily, by the way,
okay,
in the last 2 weeks, I have received help.
So we're going to clarify. Public Works takes care of an awful lot of the stuff that needs to be maintained, fixed, snow removed, et cetera. But Parks and Rec is separate from Public Works administratively. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And that's the important point. We're making two points here, I'm hearing. One, administratively, these are two different departments, if you will, parts of the city. But functionally, you work with Public Works from time to time.
Absolutely. Yeah, functionally, we need to work together, but we are definitely separate. They have a lot on their plate.
Right.
And for us, we're focusing on getting participation and things like that. But they have a lot of stuff with safety and just the logistics of a city functioning.
Okay. Mike Malevsky here with Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. And I have in the room Beth Scow and Dan Michaels, and we've been talking Parks and Rec. We have a few minutes left, so I've asked questions. You've answered them very nicely. What takeaway would you like to have our listeners have at this point? I'm going to start with Beth first, and then we'll turn to Dan. Beth, what do you want people to walk away with as most memorable from this interview?
The great things are coming, and we all are a great team. We work together. I think that is one of the biggest things is that all of us in the city work together as a team, and we try to do what's best for our community and the people that live in the city and that come to visit our city. The library is undergoing some little bit of a construction phase at this moment, and we've been closed this week, but it's all to make it more easier for our patrons and give us more space. We've put in a bunch of new shelving units that will supply more space for our manga, graphic novels, and audiobooks. And we've updated our countertops so that they're longer and bigger and wider so that patrons have access to be able to put their items down that they're checking out and that we're spacing out the staff so they're not stacked on top of each other. So we're all trying to work together to do what's best, and being able to modify and update the outside of the building to encourage more activities and community events is coming.
Okay, great. Dan?
I would echo those comments slightly, but I'd also want to add that we want to hear from you. If you have an idea of something that you'd like to see, you know, we want to be responsive to the needs of our community and to the needs of everyone that lives here. How can we help? How can we make this an even better place? I think we all know what a great place Palmer is to live. and visit and just spend time at. But we can always improve. We can always look to try new ideas, new things, and we want to hear your ideas.
Okay. Dan, Beth, thank you very much for coming out of the rain, coming on over, and sharing this information. Stay well out there.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.